James, in chapter 1, we left off last time here around verse 20, and we talked about every good gift in verse 17, everything good comes from the Lord. That's the kind of gifts that he gives. Every perfect gift is from above. How the Lord begat us, we were born by him and begotten by him. By his word, that word of truth. And therefore, in verse number 19, wherefore, let us be understanding about our variableness, because with the Lord, in verse number 17, there is no variableness with him. He doesn't change. There's no fickleness with the Lord. He doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. Therefore, we need to be aware of our fickleness, of our ability and desire to change. We are changeable. He is infinite. We are finite in the sense of our power, ability, how we compare to him. We have been created everlasting beings, but our strength is nothing compared to the strength and power of the Lord. And he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19 of chapter 1, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. We need to listen and hear what the Lord says. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What we take up and what we would purpose to do, what we would pursue and in our variableness, it'll never work the good thing of God. It'll never work the righteousness of God. In verse number 21, the scripture says, wherefore, because of that, lay apart all filthiness, just being dirty, being sinful, the nastiness and the nasty things of this world that we pursued, that we should lay those things aside. Wherefore, lay apart from us. Lay it apart. Put it aside. All filthiness and superfluity or abundance of naughtiness. And that word naughtiness is talking about maliciousness, being filled with malice. Let's take a look at this word superfluity, another use here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It'll make it clear to us, we trust. Romans 5, 17. Superfluity, it's not a word that I use much. I don't know about you. But here in Romans chapter 5, verse number 17, Scripture says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance, there's that word superfluity, okay, receive superfluity of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The Lord saves. He's the one that bestows grace upon us. Adam sinned, and it put us all into sin. But this abundance, this superfluity of grace that we have as a gift from the Lord through his righteousness, we see that use of that word. And so back in James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness or dirtiness and superabundance of naughtiness. Okay, let's take a look at that word in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In our world today, it's kind of in vogue to be naughty, just be a little naughty. It's kind of being cute and sinful. But the Lord says here in 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 8, we see the same word here used. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice. Same word, same Greek word, malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Malice is talking about getting back. You do me dirty, I'm going to get you back twice over, and maybe a little bit more just for good sake. Here back in James chapter 1, because the Lord doesn't change, and because we are susceptible to change, we need to lay apart this filthiness. We need to lay apart sin. We need to lay apart this abundance of malice. This getting back, getting even, conniving, working. We put that away from ourselves. We are not called to live that way. But we are called to live this way and receive with meekness. Meekness, talking about self-control. We've mentioned several times about when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Just because we can throw a big royal fit, scream at the top of our lungs, carry on, wave our hands and all that, just because we have the power and ability to do so, we need to be self-controlled. We need to be self-controlled. Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But when I'm running in circles, screaming and shouting, waving my hands and carrying on, I will not work any good thing for the Lord. But if I with patience endure, ask the Lord for help, have an open mind to hear him for his help, then I can be a help to myself, I can be a help to others, and I can be representative of the Lord as I go through a thing. Lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, with self-control, the engrafted word. The engrafted word. God has taken his word and put it in us. As he speaks to his church, turn over here in John 15. We recently took time to go through some of these chapters. And here in John 15:3, look what the Lord says. John 15, and I've preached on this passage here several times. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. If you're in the branch that's in the Lord, and you're the Lord's, and he's yours, he saved your soul, you're going to bring fruit, and it's going to bring pruning. So you can keep on bearing good fruit. That's part of what James is talking about. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Trial. Why? Knowing that faith is going to be stretched. Patience is going to be exercised. And it can sure hurt. It's easy to say, but it's yet the truth. It's the truth. And the Lord wants us to grow. He has us to grow that way. He goes on and he says here, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit, because by fruit the Lord, our Father, is glorified. The Lord goes on to say, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, that engrafted word. We've been had the word of God cut into us. And we need to hear it. And we need to believe it. We need to receive it. In Hebrews 4, you know this passage. Hebrews 4:12, right? Tells us about the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to have it in us. Be equipped with it. And the class that we have, the ABCs on Christian growth, it's for that, for those that are new members in the church and those that are young in the faith, that they might have a good dose of the word of God about different things and different issues about being a child in Christ, and that they might be strengthened, they might be shored up in the faith, if you will. We need to have that word in us. The word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder in soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We fill up on the word of God, our motive is going to get sorted out. And a lot of times my motive needs to be sorted out, that it be held in check with what the Lord wants and not what I want, what I would pursue, the malice that I might pursue, the naughtiness that I might pursue, the dirtiness, the filthiness that I might pursue. Scripture goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not shown forth or manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Child of God, let us never forget that. We can't get over in the corner and hide from our Heavenly Father and sin and get away with it. Get over it. We can't do it. We shouldn't want to do it. Sometimes it happens to us that we don't listen to the Lord. We listen to the world. We maybe turn back to some of those things that we had in our lives before the Lord saved us. But we need to remember that we need to follow God and we need to be filled up on his word, because the word has a cleansing effect and it'll straighten out our motive and it'll remind us that we are before the Lord. And when we're tempted by our inner man, by that old man, or tempted by Satan and the world and what they promote, that word would be in us and we'd find that way of escape and obedience that the Lord's promised, and we'd follow him. We'd resist. We'd resist the devil. We'd find that way of escape in obedience. Back in James chapter 1, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He's speaking to the Jews. It is by the word of God that the sinners know about their need of salvation. They learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. They learn about their sin, that condemnation that rests squarely upon a sinner because of their sin. And that, and by that, the Spirit of God takes his word and uses it to convict and to birth that sinner again. But how is it that a life is saved after salvation? We can have the salvation of the soul, and if we don't follow after the Lord and obey the Lord and pursue the Lord and pursue his kingdom and his righteousness and those things, we can, our life, our testimony can be ruined, can it? Because why? We reject the word. We reject what the Lord says. And it'll get us in trouble. Lay apart that sin. Brother James instructs us. Lay apart that abundance of wickedness and maliciousness. Receive with meekness, with self-control, the engrafted word of the Lord, which is able to save our souls. The perseverance of the saints. I mentioned this here lately, how it is we love that doctrine of eternal security, don't we? Eternal security of the believer. Once saved, always saved. That's the kind of life the Lord gives. We hold to it because it's what the Lord says he does. But along with that is that the Lord's children are to persevere, to be faithful, to not take and assume a life where we got our ticket punched and we're on our way to heaven. We've got that fire escape guarantee from hell, and then we go ahead and take the rest of our lives and live it the way we want. No, we are to serve. We are to walk with the Lord, fellowship with our Lord on this side as we walk that narrow way right on into eternity. Right on, that this life would be a preparation for the life to come. And I understand about, we have this old nature with us, strapped to us, and I know we're going to get a new body when we die or the Lord comes back. I realize that. But there would be that greater and increased sanctification, not perfection, but more set aside for the service of the Lord. You know, I think there's a lot of children of the Lord, a lot of folks, members of churches that believe in limited sanctification. So I'll go, I was going to do that and I've got it done. So I'll go to here, but that's all I'm going to go. No, we don't need to put any bounds on the sanctification of the Lord. We need to desire to keep on yielding our life, yielding our will. You know, something the Lord's been talking, dealing with me here lately is about dealing and yielding to him and sanctifying to him the thinking. Lord willing, I got a message. We don't believe in sprinkling. I'm going to get that off of there. It'll be okay on the carpet. The thinking. Thinking. We've seen here how it is that the thought is the father of the deed. Right? It starts with what goes on up here first. Thinking. And we need to set aside, we need to sanctify our thinking to the Lord. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard. It's hard to me because in my young life I filled up on some junk that I shouldn't have filled up on. And I still have problems getting away from it. And the only way that one's going to get away from it is by this book, by fellowshipping with the Lord, praying to the Lord, and that. Engrafted word. Verse 22. but be ye doers of the law. Some of you got a start there, didn't you? That doesn't say be a doer of the law, does it? What's it say? Brethren, what's it say? Word. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. What your Savior has said to you. What the Lord says to you. Be a doer of that. And talks about doing. Does it not say doer? That means there's some action in there. Yeah, we are saved unto service. We are saved unto service. But be ye doers of the word. Not just hearing it. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if you're just a hearer, you're going to be deceived. In our class, one of the things there in the book that we're using, it said, when you learn something out of the Word of God, take it and immediately apply it to your life. Don't chew it over. Don't mull it around. When the Lord brings that to you out of there and you see that it's something that you lack that you're not doing or something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, take it and apply it to your life immediately. And of course, we don't understand the thing. We need to pray that the Lord will help us to understand it. But don't take it when the Lord reveals a thing to you. Don't take it and set it. I'm going to set that one over here for a while. No. Take it and apply it immediately. The Lord speaks. Any indication of the word in the scripture, the righteous word that the scripture's talking about, is what? This word here in verse 22 is logos. Logos. In the beginning was the word. Same word, logos. There it's the Lord's name. But he's the one that has given the word. He's breathed it out of his mouth. He has breathed and has spoken. And he has given his word. Be a doer of what the Lord says. Be an obedient child. Be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only. Because if we're just a hearer, if we just collect it and we get the facts together and know the facts, give you the rundown, give you the outline, but it has no power, no effect in our life, we're deceived. You and I are flatly deceived. We are deceiving ourselves if we go that way. Look over here in chapter 2, verse number 8. Here it talks about the law. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But go on down here to verse 12. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. We have been freed from sin. We that the Lord has saved, the vision, the door, if you will, has been opened up that we can obey. We can obey the Lord. We can obey Him. We can hear Him where we couldn't hear before. We can see Him where we couldn't see before. And we've been freed, we've been given liberty that we might take the rest of this life and serve Him with it. Because before, every move we made was wickedness and against God because we didn't seek to glorify His name in it. We couldn't. Not the law, but the word. Be ye doers of the word, in verse 22 of chapter 1, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, this is the way he is. This is the way she is. It's likened to a one beholding his natural face in a glass. Go up there to the mirror, and they say, got that mirror there? I'll put it over here. That's me. I recognize me. That's me. Kind of scary, but it's me. Okay? Like one beholding, a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, We see ourselves, we recognize it's us, we learned that from a child. And goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Look into that glass, beholds themselves. The Word of God speaks to us about what we are, who we are, what we need, what Christ has done for us, the promises of the Lord. We see ourselves in that glass the way the Lord sees us, and we got a handle on that. But then we go away and we don't do the Word. We don't obey the Lord. Like Lot, like Peter talks about, we can even go so far as even forget that the Lord's even saved us. That we couldn't know what saved is if it hit us in the face. Boy, that's terrible, isn't it, to go that far? It's possible we're all capable of it. Hearing the Word of God and loving to hear the Word of God, but it have no application in living in life from Monday, from Sunday night at about 6:30 or 7, all the way to Wednesday at about 6:30 or 7. That in there it has no change, no touch, no effect. We can forget who we are. For he is like a man to a man beholding. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. That's talking about how one part of the body, the church, is joined to another part, is joined to another part, and through each connection, we all nurture and nourish one another in this building that we've been put together, this building that we've been fitly joined together in. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Salvation is not lost, but we can get to where we can't see. We are dull to the hearing of the Word of God. We read the Word of God and try to read the Scripture, and it just doesn't mean anything to us. We come to the services, and all we're thinking about is what we're going to do when the services is over. Because it just, we've become dull to it because we're not a doer of the Word. We're not obedient to taking it and applying it. We can seemingly, in the sense of the way that it was, but with us before, we lose our sight, lose our vision, not salvation. But we just can't see anymore. Why? The Word of God's not going in and cleansing us because we're not obeying it. We're not doing it. We're not following it. And here it is with those that are totally disobedient to the Word of God. We don't want to be identified with them, even by mistake, do we? We've been saved from this. Who being past feeling and given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness, dirtiness, nastiness, with greediness. We don't want to be blind, do you? No. Back in James chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, Because there's a deception that happens there. We may think we're chasing after a good time, but oh, we're hurting ourselves bad. We're hurting that relationship with the Lord. He will come whipping on us. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding himself in his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forget about the things of the Lord. Bitterness, coldness, hardness comes in. But listen to this. But here's the challenge. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The law of liberty, the word. I submit to you, it's the same. Freedom to obey the Lord. Freedom to serve the Lord. Freedom to honor and glorify the one that's redeemed us out of the quagmire and pit and slop of sin. Freedom to glorify him. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, serving the Lord, filling up on his word, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, what's it say? Of the work. The word. And hearing the word will lead to doing the work. Hearing and abiding in the word will lead to do the work. If there's an ear to hear. Is there an ear to hear? There's got to be an ear to hear. Got to be saved. But if one is saved and has been saved, then we need to follow the Lord. Liberty to follow the Lord. Liberty to serve him. Liberty to be a witness for him. Look over here in Luke 4 in the Lord. I love this passage. Luke chapter 4. The Lord here coming back to Nazareth, and he's going to the synagogue to read, as was his custom was to do. This is after his temptation, after his baptism, after his temptation. And he comes back, and in verse number 16 in Luke 4, we pick it up and read. Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book and found the place where it was written, just so happened they gave him Isaiah, as we would call it, Isaiah chapter 61. Just so happened. It was lucky, wasn't it? No, they gave it to him because it was time for this to be fulfilled. He found the place. He went over there to it. And he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. He's not talking about people that are poor financially. He's not talking about people that are brokenhearted in the sense from earthly things, although that can apply, but he's talking about something else. He's not talking about those that are in a physical jail. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. He's not talking about those that are physically blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. He's not talking about people who got a big old blue patch on their thigh because they got kicked by a mule. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He's talking about sinners needing salvation. And you see that there? To set at liberty. To set at liberty. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Beat up, dying, injured, hurt mortally by sin. and he set us free. He came to set us free. And he looked forward to the time that he could go back to his hometown and get that scripture and read it there in front of everybody. You know why? Because it was prophesied that he would. From the standpoint of the scripture being there in Isaiah, just by the scripture being there, it doesn't say, and it shall be prophesied that Jesus will read this scripture. Now, it doesn't say that, but it tells about the one that came to do this. And when it was time, he stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth, and read it. Because why? Because he came and he fulfilled it. He came and fulfilled it. And he came to liberate us from sin. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Messiah that had been prophesied finally came. And today, he's here. Today in Nazareth, the Savior is here. Glory, hallelujah. They should have been shouting. I was going to say hanging from the rafters. They shouldn't be hanging from the rafters, but should have been shouting and praising God. But you find out that pretty quick they want to take him and throw him off the hill. Yet he came to do it. He came to do it, to set us at liberty, to set us at liberty. Oh, may the Lord help us. Back in James chapter 1, but be ye doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, whosoever abides by that word, and is a hearer and doer of that word, and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work that the word leads to, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Before we're saved, we can't glorify the Lord at all. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're done. Our goose is cooked. Our motive is wrong in every whit. But I love my wife. I love my family. I provide for them. I do good things for them. I look out for them. I love my mom, my dad. It doesn't matter. It should well be done. But because you're dead in trespasses and sins, because you're estranged from God, because of your wickedness and your sin, everything you do before God from the standpoint of your eternity is wicked. It's wicked. But the sinner that has repented and trusted in the Lord, the sinner that the Lord has visited and saved, has been liberated, has now been given life and liberty to be able to do every one of those things that they did before that are right and moral to the praise and honor and glory of God. He'll be blessed in his deed. She'll be blessed in her deed. Because of why? Because of obedience. That's what he's speaking to us about. The perfect law of liberty. Freedom. Freedom to serve the Lord. Freedom to obey Him. Freedom to put sin out of our lives. Freedom and ability by the Spirit of God to put the old man down. The Lord says, mortify the deeds of the flesh, doesn't it? The scripture says that we should crucify this flesh. And by the Lord saving us and the Spirit of God coming within us, we have all things. Peter tells us that, and as we mentioned this morning in the Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class, that it says there in 2 Peter chapter 1 that the Lord's given us all things that pertain unto godliness. He's given us everything. He's freed us. He's given us the Spirit within. He's given us liberty to serve and obey Him. Verse number 26, it's going to get down to getting practical now. He's going to start talking about some of the deeds. He's going to start talking about and make a little mention here about the biggest thing we've got a problem with besides our mind. My mouth. My mouth. How I use my mouth. How I use my mouth. One minute I can be cursing my brother, cursing my sister, cursing a man or a woman and talking bad and ugly and nasty about it, and then the next second trying to bless God with it. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. So if you can control your mouth, we can control our mouth. We can control a real, real big thing. Little member, that tongue. It gets in a pile of trouble in a hurry, won't it? Gets in a pile of hurry with our Lord. He's listening all the time. He's writing it all down. Everything you and I say, He's writing it down. Book of remembrance. May the Lord help us. And we'll see, take a look at that next time.